Penny.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
You're listening to Executive News Radio, broadcast from Pretoria Law in Tyson's Corner, Virginia. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Les Mullen Vistage, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Company's Brian Chandler and Allison Mullins, Pretoria Law, Paul Pagnotto and Kathy Reeder, Pagnotto Carp. And we have a great lineup of guests for you in our show today. Les, will you please give us the rundown?
We've got Prem Puri, founder, and Amita Jain, VP at Classic Homes. Ryan Delaney, partner, Cordia Resources, Jay McCargo, CEO of AR Services, and Gavin Bowie, principal and co-founder at Wingate Hughes.
Excellent. Thank you. Let's get to know Prem Puri and Amita Jain, founder and vice president of Classic Homes. What is Classic Homes? What do you guys do? Please. Mm-hmm.
Classic Homes is a home builder, building in Maryland and in Virginia.
Mm-hmm. How many homes have you built?
Classic Homes have built around 1,500 homes.
About 1,500 homes, huh? And let's see. How old is this business? When did you start the business?
The first house we delivered was in 1984.
All righty. And where are you from originally?
I'm from India.
India. And how young were you when you came to the United States?
I came to study here at the age of 21.
At the age of 21. And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have four brothers and four sisters.
So you're one of eight kids. And did you come from a wealthy family in India?
No. No. My dad was a laborer, and then he became a small merchant.
Uh-huh. And did you tell me something about family values when you were a kid? What was that all about?
Well, my dad influenced my life a lot during my younger years.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
And he used to take me to work, and he showed us how he treats his customers, and in taught me the value of customer relations and taking care of them like your own family.
What did your dad do? What did your dad do for a living?
He was a small merchant. He the farmers used to bring red chilies to his warehouse, and he used to sell those to people from other states in India.
And how young were you when you started working with your dad?
I never worked with my dad, but I used to go out with my dad on business when he was at the shop or was at the warehouse.
What was that story you told me about dad and orphanage houses or something? What was that about?
Yes, my dad always believed in helping others. He was himself very poor, and he did well in his life with his hard work and honesty. And he taught us that you never forget to help others you need help. So local orphanage houses, he used to take us there, and he invited them to the house for meals on Sundays. So he was very active in helping the very poor.
And what would you do with these orphanage houses?
We just go them, we feed them clothes, we give them clothes, we give them food, we cook food at home and take the food there for them, and you know, and sometimes get them medicines, send them to a doctor who's sick, and all kind of things which poor people need.
You did that even though you didn't have a lot of money. Your father took you guys to do this anyway when you were kids to these orphanages.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, he did. He did.
What did you learn going to those orphanage houses washing their feet and helping these people? What did you learn from them that has anything to do with building 1,500 homes?
Yes, what you learned from them is that no matter what you do in life, the most valuable asset you have is learning, knowing that is that you help others when they need help.
Didn't you tell me that you retired a number of years ago, and I was wondering how you're spending your time nowadays?
Well, once my children became independent, I have three children, and they are all home builders. I decided to work full-time for my foundation. Now I buy land and build homes and give the money to the charity, to the foundation. And thanks to Uncle Sam that all that money is tax-free.
Wait a second. So you're telling me as a kid your father took you to visit orphanage houses to serve the people, and you came to America without any money. You somehow managed to make good here, and now you're doing the same?
I'm doing the same. I'm doing the same thing which my father did. He also never had any help. He was a laborer. He became a merchant, and he spent his time helping others. So,
what's your greatest accomplishment? I guess it's building 1,500 homes and making all that money, huh?
Well, a lot of money I have distributed to the charities, and...
Why would you mean you've distributed the money to the charities? I read the newspapers, the CEOs, you make lots of money, you buy yourself a beautiful boat and a home.
Not interested in that. I have a lot of questions. I have a lot of my friends ask me the same questions, that why don't you buy some houses in Florida and fly us there, buy a plane and all that. I just tell them that just doesn't make me a happy person.
All right, we have a question here for your daughter, Prem.
Amita, I have a question about your father and your relationship growing up. So your grandfather taught your father a lot of really important values that he uses in his business and his foundation today. What kind of values did he teach you growing up? Did he teach you the same values?
Absolutely. Growing up, what I saw from him was just persistence, determination, hard work, and never give up.
Mm-hmm. And Prem, what did you learn from your daughter? What have you learned working with your daughter? What has your daughter taught you about business?
Well, more than business, she has taught me how to control yourself in eating habits and her healthy habits, and all that has a strong influence on me myself. I've lost like 60 pounds after listening to her and watching her lead a vegan life, and I also converted all of us into vegetarians. Mm-hmm. It was 25 years before I became a non-meat eater.
Allison, what do you got there?
Prem, how did you get here from India? Why did you move to the United States?
It's a dream at that time in 60s and 70s, and there were not many opportunities in India at that time. So the biggest dream was to come to the United States and get an education here and get a job here.
What did you get an education in?
I have a master's degree in electrical engineering.
So how'd you get into home building? What was the turning point there?
Well, I worked for IBM for 15 years, and I just learned that that I just want to be my own self.
So how'd you get into home building?
Well, this the house which I was living in was built by a guy from Yugoslavia.
Yeah.
And he barely spoke English, and he was successful in building homes. So I looked at him, I said, well, if he can do it, I can do it too.
So you had never built a home, you just decided to build one. And now you've ended up building 1,500. Allison, what other question do you have there?
Did any of your siblings come to the U.S. as well and go to college?
Yes, my two brothers came to after me.
Actually, you mentioned that all the siblings went to college. Your father was of modest means, but education was evidently very important to you. Brian?
How did the family values that your father had in his business, how did you sort of import them to your own business?
I think the values he taught us was the single most reason for my success in business. He told us the value of customer satisfaction. He said, if your customers are not happy, you will never be happy in any business. So you have to take care of your customers like as your family members, mm-hmm. and always provide the best value you can provide in business, better than anybody else can do. And number three, the most important, he said, always be very honest.
Kathy, you have a question there?
It's fascinating that you started a business that you didn't know anything about. Have you always been someone that's been confident in your ability to just figure things out and make it happen?
Well, this was the house building was my major first try. So I can't say that I have many experiments in trying that's something so huge.
Mm-hmm. Paul, do you have a question?
Prem, my understanding is you created a foundation. Why did you create a foundation, and what do you do with it?
Well, what I do is that we primarily, I built like in 2005, I went to visit a school in India. There was like, it was in a rotten house, broken house. and there were students there studying, blind students and all that. So I determined to build them a house. So I just built up a finished up 100,000 square foot building. It's, I think it's more than 100,000 square foot school, and it matches any building in the United States.
Wait a minute. You did what? You built a building and you paid for this?
Built the whole school.
You built the whole school. Yeah. Les, what question you got there?
Yeah, I mean, this whole conversation, I haven't heard anything about mom. So what is it that you took from your mom that you use today?
Could you repeat the question, please?
Yeah, what did you learn from your mom that you bring to work every day?
Well, my mom worked very hard. She was not the one who made many decisions at home, but she was an extremely hard worker. She raised 8 children at home in those economic conditions, which was not very good. And it was not an easy job for her. So I learned the value of hard work from her.
Mm-hmm. What's your greatest accomplishment been? What's the most important thing that you've done? What are you most proud of?
I think the most important thing I have done is that I realized that in the end it's helping others which counts the most. So but not only we have built schools in India, we sponsor my younger son. He's very much interested in the foundation, and he just has been living in Africa in the Kakuma camp and the camps where all these lost boys are there, and we send those boys to the college. We send those students. We have a scholarship to send the students to the college. So we have educated, paid for the education of a lot of people who have come to the United States. Those boys won't have a chance, or those girls won't have a chance of getting out of the camp.
You're all heart. Wow. What's the website address for this organization, Classic Homes? What's the website address?
D.D. Puri Foundation.
Mm-hmm. And how about the class? Is Classic Homes?
ClassicHomesMD.com.
Excellent. Well, I just had a cutter right there. And your name is?
David Farrell.
And David, the name of your organization is?
Farrell Advisory.
And you were telling us earlier about what you do, but you do some other stuff as well. What's that look like?
Yeah, no. What I'm trying to help is prepare companies for sale. So I go and talk to the business owners and look to see what their objectives are over the next 2 to 3 years, and we prepare the company for sale, improving the performance and trying to improve the valuation so that they can sell it at their best price after all their years have been working at it.
So you're telling me that business owners sometimes really work hard at building their business and trying to make it profitable and overcome all the obstacles of building a business. And sometimes they don't necessarily plan well for exiting the business?
I think that's pretty simplistic, but I think people are always very conscious of what is happening now and what they got to make sure that you've got an ongoing business, a recurring business, and sometimes you just need to sit and prepare it, make sure you bring up the other management team. You need to, as the businesses grow, you need to bring in better procedures and reporting, and how do you improve the performance of that? And more importantly, how do you grow your management team, the other staff, so that they actually don't have to go and look for other jobs? They can continue to grow their career.
Wow! So you have a pretty intimate relationship with the CEO. I mean, you guys really get to know each other well because you're like the masterful coach.
You do. I think it takes a bit of time to actually get to know the CEO, the business owner, before you actually get signed up with it. But then you get very intimate. I mean, you're asking all different questions, and there can't be any bad questions. There's only bad questions after the event. So,
what's the website address of your organization, David?
FarrellAdvisory.com.
Let me have that one more time.
FarrellAdvisory.com.
We've been speaking with David Farrell, president of Farrell Advisory, here on Executive Leaders Radio. We'll be back in a moment right after this break.
Nice. You did 2 in a row.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least 2 federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least 2 federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
800-439-1588.
This is a commercial message.
If you're suffering from pain, especially back pain or knee pain, you can get relief with a back or knee brace at little to no cost to you. We are Complete Healthcare Services, and we have access to the nation's premier suppliers of high-end braces and pharmacy services. We can also evaluate your pain to get a clearer picture of your insurance coverage for free. Complete Healthcare Services can help you determine the safe and right medication for your pain. Call Complete Healthcare Services now and let us help you become pain-free so you can be active again. Experienced agents are available to help you day or night, and there are no age restrictions. Everything may be covered by your insurance, including Medicare plans, so there is little to no cost to you.
Call now and get free shipping. Plus, we'll include a set of heavy resistance bands to help improve your flexibility and endurance. Call 800-550-9851. 800-550-9851. 800-550-9851.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Les Mullen Vistage, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Brian Chandler, and Allison Mullins, Pretori Law. Paul Pagnotto and Kathy Reeder, Pagnotto Carp, like to introduce Ryan Delaney, partner of Cordia Resources. Ryan, what is Cordia Resources?
Cordia Resources is a finance, recruiting, and staffing firm. We have offices here in Tysons Corner, Washington, D.C., and in Maryland.
How large or how small is this organization?
All in across Cordia Partners and Cordia Resources, we have over 100 employees.
All righty. And where are you from originally?
Born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin until I was 5 years old.
Uh-huh. And how many brothers and sisters?
I have an older sister and a younger sister.
So when you moved from Milwaukee, where did you move to?
We moved to Fairfax, Virginia.
Uh-huh. And did you find that your older sister was somewhat protective of you when you were a kid and you moved?
My sister was very protective of my older sister was very protective of me.
What do you mean? Give me an example.
So when we moved into the neighborhood, she was over her own social well-being, was very interested in making sure that I was acclimating well to the neighborhood.
Over her own social well-being? What do you mean?
So she was and is a very giving person, cares a lot about everyone around her. That was very much so reflected in our relationship and still is to this day.
Uh-huh. What do you do for a living?
So I manage the Northern Virginia office for Cordia Resources, which is, like I said, a professional recruiting and staffing business.
So your job is to read people, isn't it?
It
is. And to figure out, you know, where people fit in an organization. How young were you, 8 to 14 years old, when you realized you could read people? What was that all about?
I was very young when I first realized that I had that ability to understand how people were reacting to me. I can remember early on in school, second or third grade, really understanding how individuals and classmates were reacting to my strengths and weaknesses. And I think that's served me in my career. It's also at times a little can make things somewhat challenging, but it was at a very young age.
Interesting. So you've been reading people for a long time. Allison, what do you got?
Did you play any sports when you were younger?
I did. I grew up playing football and played football through high school and college.
And what position did you play?
I played offensive line.
And what does that mean to someone like me?
So the offensive line is basically not all that recognized unless you mess up, and you are working very closely with a unit of five players. So you're working in unison with a group of four other guys.
So that means you're the kind of guy that can take the heat, but you don't need to be the star, huh?
I think that's pretty fair, yes.
Brian? All right, no microphone. There you go, Paul.
Ryan, how many children do you have?
I have 3 children, 6, 4, and 11 months.
Wow. And
who wears the pants in the family?
They do.
Well, what do you mean?
So it's clear that my 3 children, starting with my middle daughter, then my son, and my 11-month-old is running the show.
So you're comfortable taking the back seat and making sure that everybody's winning in advance, aren't they? How young were you when you started making money?
I was young. I started working in a mulch yard when I was probably 11 or 12 years old, and had many jobs throughout high school and college.
You were working in a mulch yard. What was that all about? What did you do different than the other kids that worked in that mulch yard?
Well, I didn't have a whole lot of downtime. There actually wasn't any other kids. It was just me
loading. So you know about taking responsibility because there was no other kids to depend on.
People needed their mulch, so I did my best to load
them
up quickly.
What's that have to do with what you're doing nowadays?
Well, it's a pretty loading mulch, as you can imagine, is a pretty grinding business. Mm-hmm. Not very glamorous, but you know, people have needs and they have things to do, and you're there to do a job.
Yeah, you were just responsible. Uh-huh. Kathy, you have a question?
So I understand you have three young kids. So tell us about the hour before bedtime. Are you able to shut everything off and really focus on your kids, your family?
So that is my favorite time of the day. I do my best to shut things down, and they actually demand it, so I don't have a whole lot of option. But it's the great thing about having kids, and what I love the most about having kids, is they're in the moment. There's no other way for them. And so when they're in the moment, you have to be in the moment. And at 6, 5, and 11 months, they're really not.
Well, you don't have to be in the moment, but you choose to be in the moment. And you also choose to spend that time. Les?
I want to go back to something you said earlier. 5 years old, you came here to this area, and you had this awareness about yourself in second, third grade. What was it about moving here that was so profound, perhaps, for you, that gave you this sense of self?
You know, I think the big thing was all of my extended family was in Milwaukee. So my parents took a chance and moved to Washington, D.C., and we basically had no connections here. So I think that created a resourcefulness for myself and my family that, you know, we had to be comfortable with who we are, who, you know, our strengths, our weaknesses, and we had to do it in such a way that we didn't have a lot of pre-existing relationships. So that was definitely a defining a moment for me and I think for my entire family.
Mm-hmm. And has it shaped how you do what you do now?
Well, you meet a lot of people quickly. I mean, we meet on average 25, 30 new people a week through the recruiting business. And so you got to quickly understand people's interests and goals, try to make a genuine connection and a sincere connection. And to do that, you have to be comfortable with who you are, with your own strengths and with your own weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, making that move at a young age was formative for me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Allison?
Can I ask about the yellow bracelet that you're wearing? What's the meaning behind that?
So it's a great question. My 5-year-old daughter was diagnosed with leukemia when she was 3 months old. So she went through 6 months of treatment at Johns Hopkins, and is now fifth year in remission.
What have you learned from your daughter about life and about business?
So it's a huge perspective reset. I was going along pretty well until about 29, until that day. And I think you realize that every concern, issue, and demand you have in your life can be changed in an instant. And everything that was my preoccupation went away and quickly, and my whole framework and thought process changed immediately. And so,
how's that affecting you nowadays?
You know, I think about it every single day.
Think about what?
I think about, you know, priorities. I think about,
what are the priorities? It's making a lot of money, isn't it? It says here you're the, if I'm reading this correctly, it says here you're a partner, you're a hot dog at Cordia Resources.
So at the end of the day, what you realize when health is threatened is that health is, your children's health and your own health is completely 100% more important than anything you're doing in your professional life. And I think once you've seen that and once you've experienced that, you never lose that perspective. It doesn't mean you can't keep driving and keep being productive and keep being a good business person and a productive member of a business community, but it resets your thinking on the real priorities in life, and 100% the real priorities are your children
is
and your
that
health.
Is that why that the hour before bedtime is so important to you?
It is. I think I probably would cherish that time with or without that experience, but I think it certainly adds to it, yes.
Mm-hmm. What have your kids taught you about business?
You know, I have interest and hopes for all three of my kids. What I've realized is that they're going to all get to where they're going in very different ways. All three of my kids are profoundly different. And I think with our business, we have interests and hopes and goals. And I think our employees are all going to get there in their own different ways. And I think there's a level of empathy that I've developed from, you know, being a parent of a sick child, that translates over to the business world, that people have...
What's the website address for Cordia Resources?
CordiaResources.com.
We've been speaking with Ryan Delaney, partner at Cordia Resources, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment, right after this break.
Oh, my gosh.
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the first national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. Small businesses drive America forward, generating 64% of all new jobs in the last decade. With over 30 million small businesses in the U.S., shouldn't you be watching BizTV? With the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners, BizTV is the network you should be watching. Success stories, new ideas turned into businesses, programs full of sales tips, goal setting, how to manage, how to raise capital, and improving work-life balance. BizTV is for those who want to succeed. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Is getting a degree on your bucket list, but you've got a life, a job, family, stuff you can't put on hold to go back to school? Grantham University gets it. For over 65 years, Grantham's delivered affordable, relevant college and advanced degree programs to the men and women of our military. Let that sink in a moment. If they can deliver a quality education to a service member in a tent in Afghanistan, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. Grantham is accredited and 100% online, so they're built to be flexible to make sure you can fit an education into your already busy life. Call Grantham today to find out how easy it is to get started on your education and check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now, 800-910-0850. That's 800-910-0850. Grantham University. Flexible. Affordable. Relevant. Call 800-910-0850.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is Herb Cohen with my co-host, Les Mullen, Vista, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Brian Chandler and Allison Mullins, Praetore Law, Paul Pagnotto and Kathy Reeder, Pagnotto Carp, and we'd like to introduce Jay McCargo, CEO of AR Services. Jay, what is AR Services? What are you guys doing?
Sure. AR Services is a federal government contractor focused on integrated logistics services, business transformation, and research and development services.
Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from the Jersey Shore, born in Avalon, New Jersey.
Avalon, New Jersey. And did you tell me as a young kid you used to work with your grandfather and your father?
Worked with my dad, yeah. My grandfather's older at the time, but my father was a excavating and landscaping contractor.
How did he get into that? Oh.
His father did the same thing.
Where was your grandfather from?
Grandfather was from southwestern Virginia. He was actually a coal miner.
He was a coal miner, and your grandfather, who was a coal miner, moved from coal mining to South Jersey to start a contracting business?
I believe that was his plan.
That took a lot of guts. What do you know about your grandfather doing that?
He died when I was very young. He died when I was 5 years old.
Yeah.
But certainly that did take a lot of courage and fortitude. You know, you're going from the unknown to the known, furthest he'd ever been
in his life. How'd that show up in your father?
My father was every bit an entrepreneur. He had a heck of a lot of courage and integrity as a business person.
Did you tell me something happened at a bank?
Not one particular incident, but I could see early in my life how my father was greeted in town by, I mentioned the bank, because he was a successful business owner, because he was a person of a credibility. Even though it was a blue-collar profession, he had noticed when he walked in the door, the manager, vice president, would get up from their desk, step around, and shake his hand and talk to him. They didn't do that with every customer.
Why'd they do it with him?
He was a good customer. He was a person of integrity.
How'd that make you feel?
Oh, it makes you feel very proud when you see how your parent is being looked at.
Tell me that the school you went to, there were a lot of your friends, their parents were professionals. Tell us about your dad and the truck.
Yeah, wouldn't say a lot, but I did have friends whose parents were professionals, white collars, some physicians, some attorneys, and whatnot. But one thing I learned, power of being an entrepreneur and having your own business, because I know there was never an event, social event, athletic event, school event, that my parents, my father wouldn't be there. And a lot of folks whose parents were, you know, white collar professions, didn't have that freedom of time.
Didn't you tell me something about he would drive up with something on the side of the truck?
Oh, yeah. His vehicles, he may have driven up in a truck to that event at 3 or 4 in the afternoon that everybody's parents could get to. Mm-hmm. But it was his vehicles, and they had his name on those. And that made a heck of an impression to me.
What do you mean?
The impression that no matter what time something was going on for one of his children, mm-hmm. he had the freedom of time to be there and be present.
How young were you when you started making money? Or how young were you when you got started in business? That's probably a better question.
As long as I can remember, family had its own businesses. As I mentioned, excavating, landscaping. My parents also owned a garden center and had a fish market as well.
Wait. They had an excavating business, they had a garden center, they had a fish market all at the same time?
Yes, they did.
Wait a minute. Whose idea was this? Was this your mother's idea or your father's idea?
I think jointly between the two of them. Probably more so my dad's, though.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have two older sisters.
Did they get stuck working in these businesses?
They certainly did. They certainly did. As young as I can remember, we were always doing things to support the businesses. Cleaning up, stocking. Sisters were older. You know, I remember my oldest sister running the cash register.
What'd that do to you, the fact that your parents had several businesses, not one? How's that affecting you nowadays?
It makes you look as a business owner and entrepreneur for opportunity. Makes you look at diversifying yourself and what you do. But it also imprints the power of being a business owner and when I say power, the power of employment, of positive things you can do for others, you can do for your community.
Wait a minute. You're talking about the fact your parents had these three businesses all at the same time, and the way it affected you was the fact that you're always looking for opportunity and you're always looking to diversify. Don't you realize that 85% of businesses fail? Isn't there any fear in your bones?
There's caution and there's analytical sense, but 85% fail, that means 15% are successful. You just need to do what you have to do in terms of preparation, analysis, and good fortune and luck to be that 15% that succeeds.
I just wanted to know the answer, Allison. What do you got?
About how old are you when you started working with your family's business?
As young as I can remember. So I'd probably say 5 or 6. It was just something that you did.
And when did you get your first paycheck?
I was probably about 12, getting an actual paycheck from the business.
And do you remember what you did with that first paycheck?
No, I do not.
Why don't you remember?
Probably wasn't something that important what I did with the money. I think what was more important was the pride of earning it and being recognized by mom and dad that your efforts, you know, really
wait.
Compensation.
Have your mom and dad been to your this business, which is 150 people? Have mom and dad been to your business?
Oh, my mother has. Unfortunately, my father passed away before I started the
business. So has your mom been to the physical business?
Oh,
has she walked through the doors?
She certainly has.
How do you think she felt walking through the doors of your business?
I'm fortunate enough, blessed enough, and my mother is expressive enough to say a couple things. One, that she was very proud of me, of what we've achieved as a company, and certainly something that that hits you when she said, you know, your dad would be very, very proud of what you did.
Why would that be?
I could tell how my dad did things. He was trying to teach. He was trying to impart knowledge in terms of not just being a business person, but being a person, of trust, being a person of responsibility, one that delivered on commitments. So for him to see that carry
forward,
your mom
made
it a point.
Your mom made it a point to tell you that he would be proud of you, huh?
Oh, and that's a very kind thing for her to say.
Brian?
Jay, when did you first know that you were going to go into business?
I probably knew that when I was 10 years old or so.
Even before you had your first job outside the McCargo family business?
Mm-hmm.
Kathy, yes. Paul, what kind of questions you guys got?
Jay, my understanding is you played college football.
Yes, I did.
What position did you play?
I was an offensive lineman.
And what's that tell us about your personality? And what's that tell us about your personality?
It's about selflessness. You understand that you're part of a larger unit. As one of the other guests earlier today said, Mr. Delaney, very well made point. You're part of 5, then you're part of 11, then you're part of 60 or 80. So it's not just about you. It's about a larger group of people.
Gotcha. Les, what do you got?
Yeah, you keep kind of referring back to this idea of this greater purpose. What is the greater purpose in what you're doing now?
Greater purpose, I believe, for AR Services is on a couple of different domains. It's what our company does in a small way for our country, because we support the federal government largely in the defense and national intelligence community. So the security and safety of our company, of our country, making our country better. What it does for our employees and the communities that they live and work, it provides careers, it provides opportunity for professional advancement, educational advancement, and there are philanthropic things that the company does as well and the employees do as well. So that's the real importance I hope that the company leaves and the company makes. It's not about making
money. Were mom and dad involved in the community when you were a kid?
Yes, they were. Yes, they were.
Is that where this comes from?
I'm sure.
What do you mean?
Always got a sense from them that you run a business.
Were they involved in the church?
Yes, they were. Yes,
how?
They were.
How were they involved in the church?
My father was a deacon. Stepped away from the church. My parents were involved as well. I know my father was a volunteer fireman in addition to running his own business.
He ran 3 businesses. He has 3 kids. He was a volunteer fireman as well?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Your family never stops. You don't ever stop, do you?
They work a lot. They worked a lot harder than I do now. One thing,
I don't know about that.
A bit more.
Do you have any kids?
Yes, I have 2 children.
Uh-huh.
One's 24. One's 18.
Who wears the pants in the family? You or your wife?
I like to think I'm the pants wearer, but at this point in my life, it's really around the children. It's been interesting as the nest has gotten empty. The youngest one's son's gone off. Mm-hmm. He's a freshman in college. He's actually a college football player.
What do you know that most of us don't know? What do you know? What do you really appreciate that maybe we don't appreciate?
It's a gift of time. That's the thing that's common amongst all people, from the richest person in the world to the poorest person in the gutter. The one thing is the same. We only get 24 hours a day. That's the one common thing. It's what you do with that and the gift and preciousness of time.
Tell me more about that. What do you mean?
Try to take stock every day of what did you do today that made somebody better, made yourself better, made your family better, made your community better, made your business better. So that's a conscious thing I try to do at the end of every day.
It's a conscious thing you try to do at the end of every day is to figure out how you're going to spend your time.
Yeah, or looking back how it was spent, what benefit did you do out of that, and that helps you going forward to recalibrate.
It's not about buying yourself stuff, buying yourself a boat or a motorcycle or a car.
Those things are they're temporal. They come and go.
Huh. How about that? What's the website address of this organization, AR Services?
Sure. It's arslimited.com.
Let me have that one more time.
arslimited.com.
We've been speaking with Jay McCargo, CEO of AR Services, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this break.
Oh, my God.
And your name is?
David Farrell.
And, David, the name of the organization?
Farrell Advisory.
Now, what does Farrell Advisory do?
I provide corporate finance advice to my clients.
Now, when you say corporate finance advice, what's that include? What's that mean?
I help them buy and sell companies, and I also help them restructure when they're in a distressed situation.
So you help businesses buy and sell themselves and divisions and parts and chunks, and then if they get into trouble, you help them with financing?
Not just with financing, but also the operational aspects. So finance is just the indicator. Operations, we dive down and see how we improve the performance and then look to refinance themselves.
So you understand how a business works on the inside so that if you're going to a bank or a private equity source or whomever for money, you're able to explain what's really going on as opposed to just the numbers, huh?
It's not just about me. It's when you go into the business, what you've got to do is make sure the management improves so you bring credibility to the solution. And so partly is to go in, investigate the issues, brief the management, train the management. And so when they go out and present themselves to the banks, they now got that much bit of greater credibility.
You've got this huge intellect to be able to do this, and you're like the masterful coach, coaching the executive team on how to present themselves and what they have to do. Isn't that true?
You could say that. I think none of the issues you do is the individual things. It's not very complicated. It's bringing it all together. And as long as you've got that intellectual curiosity, you've got that tempo, you can generally sort things out. As long as you've got proper planning and
I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit. What's the website address for this organization?
FarrellAdvisory.com.
Let me have that one more time.
FarrellAdvisory.com.
We've been speaking with David Farrell, president of Farrell Advisory, here on Executive Leaders Radio.
Nice spotlight.
Thank you.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise.
IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-595-6619. That's 800-595-6619. Again, 800-595-6619.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Tom Romeo, who's president and general manager of an organization known as Maximus Federal. Tom, what is Maximus Federal? What are you guys doing?
We help government serve the citizens. So we do a lot of work like Medicare appeals, Medicaid enrollment, and help people come off Social Security disability and find jobs.
How large or how small is this organization, and how many employees do you have?
The Maximus Federal Group is about 3,500 employees.
And where are you from originally?
I grew up in a little town called Messina, New York.
How many brothers and sisters?
I have seven siblings.
So you're one of eight kids. Where do you fit in the pecking order?
Fifth.
And what did that do to you growing up, the fifth of eight kids, when you were a kid?
Mostly made me feel very loved. I had a big Italian-loving family, so I was surrounded by support all the time. But it also made me realize that I had to fight for my dinner and find my place within the eight.
This fact that you felt loved as a child, and you're running an organization of how many employees?
It ranges between 3,000 and 3,500.
How does this fact that you felt love, and I get that, I get that about you. How does that help you run this organization? Because I thought business was like, if you don't do your job, you're fired or something like that. And you're telling me a major component of your being, of your soul, is love?
Yeah, I think it is. First of all, I think Maximus is a great place for me to be, because the mission that we serve is helping citizens get the services that they need and helping them to find the help that they need and deserve in their life. Secondly, I just love to work with the team of people that I've developed and feel like what I had growing up is kind of the organization that I'd like to run. So I love to feel like my team is happy doing what they're doing.
Mr. Herb Thomas, what's going on in your mind?
Tom, how rural was Messina, New York?
Syracuse was the largest city. It was about 3 hours away from Messina. Montreal was about an hour and a half, so pretty small.
Agricultural community?
Actually, the St. Lawrence Seaway is right there, and it supplied cheap hydroelectric power, so there were three factories, two aluminum factories and a General Motors factory.
Was that the world your family worked in?
My dad worked in an aluminum factory for his entire life.
You were a young entrepreneur, weren't you? Maybe a roadside stand?
Yeah, I don't know how entrepreneurial I was, but we lived on the main street of my little town. My grandfather used to buy corn or strawberries or blueberries, and I would man the stand to sell those on the street side.
Yeah, I mean, you had multiple generations in your town, your grandparents?
I did. My grandmother came from Italy, my grandfather, and settled in the little town of Messina.
What did you learn from your grandfather?
My grandfather on my mother's side is the one that supplied the corn and mm-hmm. the strawberries, and he was just a very loving man who would spend time with us, take us on trips, just a very nice man.
And what did you take from him that you use today?
Kindness, I think, and a caring for other people.
Mm-hmm. Joe, what do you got?
So, Tom, you've used a couple of different verbs, which I want to bring together. You said your organization serves others, but you also mentioned when you were a kid that you had to fight for your food. So is there a connection there? I mean, are you serving others by fighting for their rights or, what they need to get? Or how does that work?
Yeah, I think I learned a couple of things growing up that are very important to leading an organization to deliver the mission. So certainly persistence is a very important thing. My wife sometimes calls that stubbornness.
Mm-hmm.
Could be either.
Uh-huh.
I think, staying the course, working with a group, making sure that everyone is happy but delivering on a promise to the citizens is something that I think comes from my youth.
Michael, Lucia, what do you guys got?
So what else did you do as a child? Did you play any sports?
I did. I played a lot of different sports. Played baseball, I played basketball, I played football as a youth, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what was your role on those teams?
A teammate, more than anything. I wasn't particularly a great athlete. I enjoyed being on the team, but really just played my role on the team.
So you had a team at home with all your siblings?
I did. I did, and I think to make that work with eight kids, you have to play your role.
Mm-hmm. Michael?
And what was your role in the family? So what were family reunions and Thanksgiving like with your extended family as well?
Yeah. So there was always a lot of family around. So by the time I was in my early teens, there were 25 in the immediate family for Thanksgiving. We had family reunions every year. My father came from a family of 13 children, so there were 150 or 200 people at a family reunion. Within the immediate family, I was sort of the oldest of the second half of the family, so kind of took care of my three brothers. And I took care of them, and I also took care of them, pushed them in the direction I wanted them to go a lot of times.
Kind of parallels what you're doing right now, right?
It does, through sometimes direction and sometimes coercion. It does parallel.
Tom, being one among very many in a family, and you're describing yourself as being really a teammate, I guess, as opposed to, say, a star, the one who's trying to make that goal at the last minute. How do you rise to the top?
It came later in my life. I recognized, I actually met my wife in college, and she encouraged me really to start to pursue a master's degree and some of my, what she saw as some of my natural capabilities. But once I started working, people kind of encouraged me to speak up, to take more of a leadership role. And the more I took, the more they offered, and it just sort of grew from there.
Tom, what's the website address for Maximus Federal?
Maximus.com.
We've been speaking with Tom Romeo, President and General Manager of Maximus Federal, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Liz, can you give us a rundown on who we have had the opportunity to speaking with today?
Sure. Marty Fletcher, Managing Partner, Whiteford, Taylor & Preston. Michael Sanders, President and CEO, Interactive Government Holdings. Kathy Seibert, President and CEO, A-Span. And Tom Romeo, President General Manager, Maximus Federal.
Excellent. I'd like to thank my co-host, Mr. Les Mullen-Vistage, Lucia, Hedge from Cressa, Mike Rosner, Chamber of Commerce, Joe Kovacs, Counselor Buchanan and Mitchell, and Herb Thomas, Whiteford, Taylor, and Preston for giving me a hand structuring the questions. Hope you're providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. Thank you for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.